themes of the whole thing was being centered around being Holy Spirit filled. Now, immediately we begin to think about being filled with the Spirit, you know, and being filled up and overflowed and bubbling. But as Pastor Craig explained, he says it's not really it's more of being led, being controlled by the Holy Spirit. Turn over to Matthew chapter 7. And then look at verse number 11. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Now, turn over to Luke 11:13. It's a similar passage, but it's given to us a little bit differently. I found it interesting, very interesting. Luke 11:13 says, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto the children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Jesus said, you're able to give good gifts aside or outside of the influence or the leading of the Holy Spirit, but it's far better to give when he leads and guides us to do that giving or to do that helping. What it means is that when you ask God if you are to help that person, the Holy Spirit says yes, give him help or give her help. You then have fulfilled the will of God for your life at that moment. Think about that for just a moment. Fulfilling the will of God should be our goal. Should be our goal every day. In fact, if we take that mindset and use it in every decision that we make every day from the time you wake up till the time you go to bed, then we are fulfilling the will of God for our life for that day. Continue it on for the week, for the month, for the year. If you think about it for a moment, it's life-changing. It'll change your life. All we have to do is to put aside that weight and the sin that so easily besets us, and we run that race that's set before us. The race begins anew every morning. Every morning. You failed yesterday? You can forget it. You can start the race again in the morning. You can fulfill the will of God for your life from that point on. Isn't that what we should desire to do? Start anew each day. If we confess our sins, then he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, our shortcomings, our failures, and we get to start again. Grace is a gift from God. Grace is a gift from God. Matthew chapter 16. Let's look at a different and exciting gift that God gives to us. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18 says, and I say Also unto thee, this is Jesus speaking, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Another great gift that God has given to us is the church. Is the church. Now, the building is not the church. Building is a building. It could burn down and it's gone. Okay? We are the church. And we have to understand also that we, the church, belongs to Jesus. See, we sometimes claim that it belongs to us, but Jesus bought and paid for it. No court of law needed. He bought and paid for it. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, chapter 6. Look at verse 19. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God? There's that gift. And ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Every gift is given. Every good gift that comes to us is given from God. Just think about that this morning, that each one of us would make our decisions based upon the leading of the Holy Spirit, the guiding of the Holy Spirit. Each one of us. Every decision, every thought that we have, every word that we speak, every action that we do. Just think of what we could do. You know, when you build a big project, the collaboration of all of the different trades that go into it, they have to work together and in order to get to that finished product. We are to present to Jesus a spotless church. You can't do that with a vacuum or washing the carpets. It's us. It's us. We have to get to that point. And the only way to do that is to be the Holy Spirit led, to be guided and directed. What can we do? We can encourage one another. You know, it's easy to discourage somebody. Just say some bad thing to them. You know, it's just as easy to say some encouraging thing to them. We could provide things that they're in need of. You know, the only problem with that is a lot of times we're too prideful to tell others what we need, what we're in need of. I need your prayers. Hey, I need your help moving. I'm going to be gone. Can you mow the lawn for me? You think, well, that's dumb. You know, you can go pay a kid. No, that's what it's about. That's what it's about. We can uplift and encourage one another. We could strengthen each other spiritually. Talk to each other about spiritual things. How's it going? Oh, you wouldn't believe what God did for me this morning. He actually let me wake up. It's a good thing, I think. Doesn't have to. He didn't have to let you wake up. You could, you know, go into eternity. We could go out hand in hand telling others of the good news of the gospel. Think of how many other people would get saved. But our problem is that we have provided for ourselves for so long. We've depended upon ourselves for so long that we really don't want or need anybody's help. We've worked our lives. We've built our homes. We've raised our children. We've paid things off by ourselves up to this point. I think of in the book of Acts when those people then brought everything that they had to the apostles with the mindset, hey, we need to all be equal in all of this. But we've done it on our own. And sometimes we look at other people and we go, well, you know what, they need to do it on their own. But that's not what the church is about. It's not how it's supposed to be. God has brought together a family with each one of us having a different type of gift to help the whole. You're a gift to me. And whether you believe it or not, I'm a gift to you. We're a gift to one another. Jesus paid for us with his blood. He bought us with a price. And now he's given to us each other. And it shouldn't be, oh, woe is me. It should be, oh, hallelujah. Look at the resources around you of what you can accomplish in your own life if you just allowed others to help you do that. When we get a gift from someone, and I think of my wife when she gives me a gift, I mean, she's put some thought into it. You know, what is it that I need? What is it that I would enjoy? What is it that I could use? And for the most part, they are all of those things. And we accept it with joy. We would never say, oh, what a rotten gift that is. Or why did you give me that? I'll never use that. Might as well give it away. Is that the way we think of each other? Is that the way we treat each other sometimes? Ephesians 2. We spent a lot of time in Ephesians at the men's retreat. It's always great to go to things like that because you're always challenged with something that you needed. At least I was. Look at verse number 19. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles, the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple. That's our goal. That's our goal in the church, is to grow together, not grow apart, not be separate, and yet here. We are to be here for one another. If you need something, swallow the pride and say, you know what, I need some help. Or I need some prayer. Not feeling good. Kids aren't doing well. The job's not doing well. You know, anything and everything. Maybe you're in need of something. We live in trying times. And they're only going to get worse. That's not doom and gloom. It's just to move and motivate us. Hey, we need to take care of one another. We need to look outward instead of inward. How am I going to protect myself? No, how am I going to protect the gift that God has given to me, which is one another? 1 Corinthians 12:28. We're going to look at one more gift. First Corinthians 12:28. And God hath set some in the church, that is among us, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then the gifts of healing, helps, government, diversity of tongues. One last gift this morning, I want you to remember that every gift is given from God, and the last gift I want to talk, and there are many more, there are lots of gifts that God gives to us, is the gift of our pastors. What does the pastor do for me? Of course, you can ask that question of yourself. But what does a pastor do for me? And always keep in mind now that God has given me him or them. And he's been given to be a blessing, to be a help. So I made a little list here of the things that the pastor does for me. They pray for us. They pray for us. You may not think so, but they pray for each and every one of us. They sometimes don't know exactly how to pray for us because, again, we don't tell them. There's a time of prayer on Wednesday night where he takes requests. And you know what? His phone is always on. There's nothing that's too little to not pray for. And they're willing to do that. They pray for us to be strengthened spiritually, physically, if you've gone through some surgeries. They pray to encourage us. You know, there are mornings when you get up and you don't want to get up. Just lay in bed and feel sorry for ourselves. I do anyway. There are times I end up getting up, but I mean, you lay there and you think about that. They pray to comfort us. Loss of loved ones. Health problems. They pray for us to be healed. Going through physical things. Think of Miss Marta. You know, we pray for her, but they pray for her as well, individually. And they pray for our spiritual growth. What is it, those of us that have already raised our kids, or we have grandkids, but if you've got kids, what is it that you want from your children to grow up and love God? To grow up and love God. That's how they pray for us. Now, it might kind of sound kind of bad, you know. Hey, grow up, you know, and love God as an adult, we're told. But you know what? We need to be reminded of that. Because there are sometimes we act childish. And we need to be told, hey, you know what? Grow up. Just love God. Our pastors preach to us, and you know that covers a multitude of things. They cover areas in our lives which need attention. Those sins that so easily beset us. They give us scriptural helps in order to overcome those things. Remind us. Memorize the Word of God. Put it in your heart so you don't sin against God. Memorize it. You know, if your brain is only thinking about the Word of God or the things that you have memorized, it's not going to think about anything else. Sometimes they preach encouragement. Sometimes they preach chastisement and correction. Just like our kids. They need to be told. They preach the very words that God has given to us. Our pastors comfort us. You know, life happens. Death comes. Sickness comes. We can all think of times when tragedy or health emergencies have happened. And you know, one of the first people that are there, besides your family, is the pastors. Our pastors lend a hand when needed. I know I had both of them over at my house, and a couple other you guys flipping trusses. Moving to new homes. Pulling weeds. Feeding animals. Watering the grass. Watching the house. You know, they're there. They're there to lend a hand. Our pastors help others. They're guides and counselors to others outside of our family. Chaplains go to the jails, go to tragedies in other people's lives. Pastor Caleb is a chaplain. And they call him for all kinds of things. And they're there to help. Not only to help them like they help us, but to share the gospel, to share Christ with them. They're missionaries. They spread the gospel wherever they go. Do you realize that when you support a missionary, that everything that missionary does, it goes to your account, your heavenly account? Everything they do for others goes to our account. You just think about that for a moment. I like people adding to my bank account. I don't get it very much physically, you know, in the physical world, but man, you have no idea what your spiritual account is filled with outside of what you put into it. The list goes on and on and on. So what's our responsible ability to them? Turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 5. Of course, this is a letter. This is a great letter that Paul writes to Timothy, and there's so much in it. But there's so much in it for us as well. We learn so much. 1 Timothy 5:17 said, "Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those or they who labor in the word and doctrine." For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. The picture, I was trying to think of the picture. What picture would depict this? You know, what Paul is trying to teach to us and to Timothy. And I came up with the farmer and his ox. The farmer and his ox. Farmer uses the ox to plow, to plant, and to harvest. Without that ox, he would more than likely starve. So how does that farmer treat the ox then? Well, the farmer gives it food and water, cares for it when it's sick, provides a place for it to lie down and rest and sleep. The farmer does not beat nor overwork that ox, because he knows if he does, that ox won't do what it's supposed to do. And because the pastor is a gift from God, we need to make sure that they have food and water and clothing and a home in which to lay down and rest. It's not just enough to give them money, give them a wage. We got to make sure that they have plenty so that they continue to do for us what they do. I even wrote a little note, vacations away from us is also good. Gives them rest. We are not to neglect their health nor their spiritual welfare. We're to pray for them. We are to continually to ask God to guide them, to keep them spiritually pure, and keep them healthy. Need to pray that they have strength and wisdom to continue to do what they do. We are not to berate them, speak ill, or criticize them. Now, that doesn't mean that you should never approach your pastor about the things that you have concerns with, especially if he does not follow this word. You are to do that. That's part of looking after him as well. But think about how you would like to have someone say the things about you that sometimes are said about them behind your back. We are to trust them. You know, God gave them as a gift to us. They care for our souls. They pray for us. They do all kinds of things for us. You know what? We ought to trust their decisions. If he's spirit-led, spirit-filled, then God is the one in control of him. You know, we can trust a surgeon to open up our hearts and perform heart surgery. We ought to be able to trust the pastor to make spiritual decisions for us as a church, as a family. And let me remind you how the family works. The head, and then it comes down from there. Jesus being the head, who has given to us the shepherd, and it goes on from there. We should obey them. Finally, we should show up to hear them preach. Probably the most discouraging thing that happens to a pastor is when he spends the time in prayer and putting together messages to give to us what God says we need, and we don't show up. Other things take that place. Remember, God says, forsake not the gathering together as the manner of some is, especially when you see the day coming. Remember what happened to Israel when they rejected the prophets that God sent to them day after day after day. love and respect your pastor as you would want to be loved and respected. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for the day. Thank you for your word. It's truth. It's challenges, Lord, at times. Sometimes we don't want to hear it. Sometimes we resist it. But Lord, I just pray that you would help us to be spirit-filled, led and guided by your Holy Spirit. Lord, help us to live the lives that you would have us to live, Lord. We love you, Jesus, in Jesus' name. Amen.